Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
I'm so excited that I almost didn't introduce myself and dove right in. But before we do jump into Fist of the North Star, tell us what's new.
Eastern Outlaw Comics, Western Outlaw Comics. Red Room is available for pre-order. Thousands of them have been accounted for so far. Get your pre-order in ASAP through Fantagraphics. Links are in the description below at my link tree. Patreon.com/EdPiskor if you want to read the comics right this moment. $3 gets you the archive. I have 2 issues up there right now. When these issues come out, they're going to come out on a monthly basis. All of them self-contained. So if you find one in a back issue bin, scoop it up. You're going to get a full experience. We're not doling out one story over 6 issues. One and dones, man.
Patreon.com/JimRugg. You can find a lot of my comics, mini comics, zines, things that are out of print are available through my Patreon. And I just posted Rambo 3.5, my mini comic that fills the gap between the Rambo movies number 3 and 4. You can pick that up now if you're a January subscriber to my Patreon. Besides mini comics and zines, I post lots of artwork, process stuff, even occasionally notes on cartoonist kayfabe. So find that at patreon.com/JimRugg. But the business at hand, Ed, is to get into Fist of the North Star.
Or as it's known in Japan, Hokuto Shinken. Continue.
Well done. Story by Bronson, art by Tetsuo Hara.
Bronson, like Charles Bronson.
Well said, yes. And this is the Viz Comics, you know, the first, as far as I know, I think this is the first English piece of Fist of the North Star. So I figured that's the place to start. I believe Viz is planning to reprint these in hardcover, the complete series, starting this year.
I got the scoop, man.
Which is pretty damn exciting.
Yeah, they never completed it. You know, the people who made Raijin Comics in the early 2000s, Gutsoon, they tried, and I have a couple of the color reprints. Couldn't find them in time for this. Ugly. Real bad. You know, they just had some jobbers do some weird computer color on top of it. It's meant for this black and white.
I was going to say, it's hard to it's hard to make color work on top of art that is so designed for black and white. And I mean, this thing is going to look spectacular once we dive in. I love these early manga, you know, the early efforts by Viz to bring manga to the States. And like, how do you translate this stuff? This is, I believe, 1989. So this is a pretty early effort. It's not the first manga to come here, but it's pretty early on, and they're still working out how do you do 20, I think there's 27 or 28 volumes of Fist of the North Star. Like, how do you translate that to an American 22-page comic book?
Yeah.
It's a struggle.
As a weekly kind of, you know, this is a shonen manga, you know, for boys.
Yeah, that's definitely worth noting, and a very successful one. I think over 100 million units in print. So very successful. But as we start flipping through here, keep in mind, this was for a, this is YA boys comics.
So like the other thing too, is that, it gets very redundant. Like it's considered like, you know, a monster of the week.
Yeah.
Kind of comic where our guy has to just, you know, go up against, you know, the next big bad guy who's doing bad things and depriving people of necessary provisions.
I think of this as fight comics.
Yeah, sure.
You know, is how I would classify the genre in my head.
Love and those thick eyebrows.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks great. But speaking of, like, the black and white art that we mentioned, like, look at the amount of texture, cross-hatching, and you know, heavy ink that's on that page already.
And that's early. Like, he gets even more elaborate and into the shit as he moves forward. Look at that badass motherfucker, man.
Yeah, how could you not fall in love with this? If you were a fan of the kind of stuff 1989 that Marvel's publishing, wouldn't this be your favorite?
And you know that's the deal. Like, they really try to reverse engineer, like, you know, the American mindset. And Hara Tetsuo, I'm going to call him Hara Tetsuo because that's usually how we call him. But he makes me want to draw my characters wearing their pants where they're supposed to be. Like, just seeing, like, I like that little hip region with all the wrinkles and stuff.
He looks like such an action figure. Like, send that right to the factory. Start churning out these figures. Originally serialized 1984 to, I don't even know when, 88 or something like that. But super successful, as we said. And starting off with a big bang. a mushroom cloud on page one. Wow.
Yeah, man, when they started bringing that cartoon to the States, man, 19XX, because I think it might have been past the due date.
And you can see, like, these opening pages often in manga, they'll be, you know, watercolor or something like that. And that's what you're kind of seeing here is the awkward translation to black and white comic.
Yeah, it's usually like a processed red ink.
And you can see even, like, the levels are blown out there for the washes that would have appeared, you know, probably in the original publication and will probably appear in whatever Viz is reprinting, you know, like the nice high quality. But what we see is a street gang. This feels like the world of, you know, Mad Max, post-apocalyptic.
Definitely. Down to the clothes, the lack of provisions.
And here we go. Like, this is line art. Now we're getting into the bulk of what these comics would have been. Pen and ink on paper, which does reproduce really well here. So we're off and running at this point, and man, not a minute too soon. So keeping up with that post-apocalyptic world is the survivors are vying for more and more limited resources, and that's why you have these like wasteland gangs that are preying on whatever they can find. Everybody's looking for those limited resources. You guys at home know the post-apocalyptic rule book.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing here, but with just badass super cool art and fighters. It does feel like this is your manga version of the Mad Max world.
It is, yeah, certainly. They don't hide that. And the creators, as things move forward, you're gonna see Cobra references. Like when Fist of the North Star gets some of those aviator shades, like they're directly referencing Sylvester Stallone. They're directly going to be referencing Ivan Drago from Rocky. Like very steeped in like Western flicks, even though I guess is Australia considered Western?
That's a good question. I love all this rendering and stuff. The figure work will be something that comes up again and again throughout this series. I mean, it's maybe my number one takeaway from this series is the figure work and the distortion of the figures. If you complain about Rob Liefeld drawing figures that are like 14 heads tall, we'll see you next video.
I think you took it from
I do too, this. Because we're going to see these fighters. Their scale changes in mid-fight. You know, they suddenly become 20 heads tall. It's a really awesome effect, I think. But this is a character that comes running back, and some of their gang has been taken out by somebody. And when he shows up, he's not quite right. You see his head morphing around and then explodes.
Let's make the anime. Let's sign up and get this anime made.
Yeah, you want to see this moving around right here.
It was a very limited animation that was used for this, so they pulled every trick they had, you know, in fact, when the first time you see him, the cells are submerged in water when it's shot on camera to create, like, the mirage
effect. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You see it here drawn, where your sun is not a clear line, but rather that wavy thing that, you know, looking through heat will do. And you know, it's a nice cut because they're speculating on who killed this guy and, you know, these other gang members, and it's some badass dude. Cut to the badass dude.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I mean, that's right out of those Clint Eastwood, even that outfit.
And okay, so it's ink. Now you got this like sun, I mean, this like sandblasted town, and it looks perfect.
It does. Yeah, the ruins, what's left of civilization. Even the towns that are still occupied are just shadows of their former self. He's beaten, tired, and needs water, steps into a netted trap, and they catch him.
Now, this is where we're going to see some things that we might be able to use for our own purposes when it comes to having characters interact between these cell bars. In fact, right here. The Japanese will do this. You see it in manga a lot, like in Ryuichi Ikegami's work. Sometimes when he has characters who are just even wearing glasses, where when he wants to sell an emotion, like the glasses will stop up here and down there, and like everything in between the full eye will not be obstructed from our view. And this is dope, you know? Like, it reads. You've never seen this done before. This is like an invention that we're looking at right there. And you're going to see many examples.
Yeah, I was going to say, keep going. It's something that stood out to me whenever I was looking at this, you know, this week. It's such an unusual effect.
Yeah, but you see a version of this in a lot of Japanese comics.
Yeah, here's another example of it. And this is the not a guard, but somebody that tends to the prisoners, brings them the water that they need, for example.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, every translation you read, their names are different. So I think her name might be Lynn in this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We don't get tons of names being thrown around, but Lynn doesn't sound wrong.
The little boy's name would be Bat from the versions that I've read.
Yeah, so a couple of dynamics are being laid out here. Is our hero stands up for her, builds a kind of a friendship, a bond, and then when he discovers that she can't speak, he does some of his
Deus Ex Machina, because that is what Hokuto Shinken is, man. Like, what, at any point, man, you need to open a jar. I'm gonna hit you with a couple of things. You're gonna be able to open that jar. Yes. It's every issue. There's some magic. You know, you got to pump these strips out on a weekly basis, and you can't write yourself into too many corners because there's no time to think. So he's got the magic. Like, I bet you every shonen mangaka was like, fuck, I wish I would have come up with something this crazy. Because all he has to do is, and then whatever he needs to happen, a bridge can, you know, collapse or something like that.
A bad guy's heart can explode.
Yeah, yeah.
He could bend these bars.
Exactly.
He could walk out of this prison whenever he wants to.
Also, as like...
This is the healing moment, by the way. And there's your sound effect. Zashin.
as like a shonen mangaka, it's sort of... It's got like... You know, these guys, they're not playing for small stakes like an indie cartoonist. This is an amazing, privileged piece of real estate at kind of a golden age for Shonen Jump. My homeboy picked up a couple issues of Shonen Jump because he's a big Fist of the North Star fan, and it's batted up next to Dragon Ball, Kinnikuman, City Hunter, earlier than that, Dr. Slump, some of the biggest titles to ever come from. So it's like, if you don't have success, they boot you out of there. And so, like, you got the big character that boys can aspire to be. You got the boy character that the boys can identify with. You got maybe like a cute girl character that might be like, you know, little Sally in class that you have a crush on. There's his face coming through the bar again.
Yeah.
So it's like, all that's built in here because they have to think big. You know, you can't, there's no room for masturbatory comic book making here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the biggest difference I've learned between Japanese comics publishing and American is that, like...
Cutthroat, man.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't perform, you're out. There's a bunch of the bar breaking, so I did want to point that out before we pass this sequence, because even here, like, the whole wall of the prison bars go away as we go into the prison cell. So, yeah, that's a strange... I don't know, it's a strange piece of business. But here we go. We see the marks on his chest, and that reveals something to all of us, right?
Hokuto Shinken.
The North Star, man. Death. And speaking of death, perfect segue, because guess what? This gang is coming in on the town.
Take a look at this, people. We are looking at more than a dozen bikes, all drawn in a different perspective. None even flipped. So, like, not one drawn here and then flip it on a light box and draw another. All different angles. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we always say, get the wheels off the ground to show some motion. Get the wheels off of 20 bikes. And it is like a thundercloud coming to town, man. It's a storm of these post-apocalyptic biker fighters.
So you see this shit. But guess what, Hara Tetsuo? You're going to have to draw another 20 pages next week.
Wait a minute, Ed. You're telling me this isn't the whole monthly gig? This is the cover art? Yeah, it's really cool, and they look like the Road Warriors. You know, not just the movie Mad Max Road Warrior, which they kind of resemble, but also the Road Warriors, the baddest-ass tag team ever. You know, they have the big shoulder pads, the big muscles.
Cool haircuts.
Mohawks. Yeah, all of it. Face marks.
Yeah.
How doesn't a 12-year-old boy love this?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, this for a long time, this was my favorite anime.
It's practically a formula for, like, you know, just targeting, like, what's the most popular stuff? Here you go. And here we go with Ken just tearing down. Nothing to it. Time to go to... They need my help. Little Lynn needs my help. So.
And the beauty of it, too, is that she dropped the key. Like, they can just roll out, but he's so pissed off that he has to just, like, get a little of that nervous energy out of there.
He's getting psyched. This is one of the weird places where the head through the bars is a little bit strange. It almost looks like he's stuck his head through that space. Looks like it would fit, but he's got to still pry the bars open with his hands.
Yeah, it just went to, like, Junji Ito territory there.
So badass once the action is starting, man. This is where this comic really sings and comes to life. Oh, boy. They should have let him out before they confronted these bikers. Because several of them didn't make it through. And now the little jail girl is in danger.
Look at that illustration. I was going to say, like, it's so tough.
This is that example of the scale that we talked about at the beginning of the show that I think Rob Liefeld did pull from. You know, I think he was seeing this stuff, and it's super energetic and exciting. But these characters, scale-wise, just bounce around. Like, I mean, they're giants in some panels, and this is a good example of it. She's... You know, her head's the size of his thumb.
His body proportions of Kenshiro are something that I think Rob Liefeld definitely pulled. You know, super, you know, 3 heads tall chest and then 15 heads tall legs.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it works really well.
I mean, do too. I love it in this art. Fashion illustration works that way. Super, super long legs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at him, man. It's just like he's selling it hard. Like, he can rip that little head off whenever he feels like.
Yeah, it's even the fist holding her body is even very believable. Like, she's not going anywhere. She's very securely held in this guy's grasp. And well, there he is,
Kenshiro.
What can he do?
Cracking the nux.
Imagine reading this for the first time with no context. You went into the comic book store on New Comic Book Day, saw this, looked kind of cool, and this is what you're reading.
Sign me up. Sign me up. I mean, I'm sorry, but the art smashes, you know, Marvel DC art.
It's a new language for your fight scenes. You know, like, we've learned foreshortening and things of that nature. This is something else.
Look at this, Jimmy. The dude is inking with a compass for so much of that. That is super hard to do because you have to, like...
Yeah.
The whole weight of the pen has to make the mark. You can't push down. You'll get a wobbly line. There's no wobbly lines in there. He's adding stuff to it. It looks hypnotic.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they do keep the crotch shot, though.
Centered on the crotch piece.
All of your directional devices right there.
Centered on the crotch.
How you draw power.
If we saw the Genko, there would be the little compass needle mark right in the dick tip. You know it.
Hilarious. And their faces, man, feeling the effects, being kicked to the sides.
What? Wait till you see his hand styles, though. Look at that jump.
Yeah, love all of this stuff.
And Boys Comics, baby.
The aftermath.
Little schoolboys are reading this.
They just dropped dead. He's like, what is going on here?
There it is. It's the best parts in the cartoon.
Yeah, and if you read Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive, you may see some influences here in the Street Angel gang. I love all of this. But, you know, 1989, man, that would have been a weird-looking comic to pull off the stands.
Oh, for sure.
And if you're aspiring to this, you've just expanded your vocabulary. Especially for superhero action.
Hara Tetsuo does have his own language, too, and I don't think I've really seen anybody replicate a lot of, like, his kind of storytelling practices and stuff. Like the motion with the crazy hands and all that.
Here's your fist of the North Star kind of action, right? He knocks down this big dude, hits him with a million of these shots that he does, catches Lin, and...
The guy can walk 3 steps. It's that...
The guy gets up, man, and he's a giant. How big is he there? 30, 40 feet tall?
Right. And this is that Kill Bill, man. Like, you walk 3 steps, you're done.
Yep.
From the inside out.
But he's not hanging out.
He brought death to the town, so he better go somewhere else.
Yeah, and you know what? We didn't make a big enough production, but he healed that girl. She was able to talk then. Her voice returned to her whenever she saw him come to save the day. So heals her, and then he's heading back out into the wasteland.
Wah, wah, wah.
Pretty cool. And the little prisoner dude decides he's gonna stick with this guy for a little while.
Yeah, man. Look, I mean, that is built for an anime.
It is built for a comic book series, because there's your end of book one, and you know, we have several more issues in this first volume to follow. So that's a pretty good sales job. You know, I don't know if that's 64 pages.
That's pretty good size.
And, you know, that's satisfying. Yeah. Like, you get to the end of that, you've seen him fight. You've seen kind of the setup of his powers. You've seen the world that he lives in. And off he goes on to the next, you know, whatever the next enemy is going to be. Real satisfying if you think of this next to a monthly Marvel or DC comic at the time.
Are these...
Monthly, but the first volume of this, and I don't know if it's 8 or 10 issues, they're all like this thickness.
That's the question I was going to ask. Yeah. So I would bet
it's very satisfying, that first chunk.
That the subsequent ones have probably 2 chapters in each one. Possible that this may have been a one-shot
No, the other ones follow exact same layout and everything.
No. I'm talking about when it was in Shonen Jump.
When
it was first released, like, all right, here's like one story. Because the initial chapters would be bigger, but this is pretty substantial. This is one-shot size for a manga that would show up in Shonen Jump or something. But, yeah, it's a complete... I mean, this is the complete first chapter, so it's all in there.
Yeah, very fun read even today. This still feels like a very exciting, awesome comic. I think people are going to be excited when Viz, you know, starts reprinting these things in a nice format. I don't know when they begin this year, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of fans waiting for them. I'll be one of them.
Absolutely.
But I've dug out all these things. I think 4 or 5 volumes of this were printed in some sort of serialized version. You know, they become more like a Saddle Stitch. Some of the subsequent volumes are like Saddle Stitched comics. Still kind of big, but you know, a little bit, not quite this size. But this first volume is amazing. And, you know, if you can find them, they're fight comics. If you run across issue 3, that's as good a place as any to dive in.
Yeah, there's going to be the big bad guy. He's going to dispatch the bad guy. He's going to hit him with a couple of gimmicks. The dude's head's going to explode. Or one, my personal favorite is the one when he hits the one general guy with a bunch of gimmicks. And the general guy, his favorite thing to do is like Garrett wire people's heads off in the town. So he hits him with the gimmicks. And then the guy like reaches into like his pocket and pulls out his cat gut. And wraps it around his own neck and starts sawing his own head off.
Yeah, that's a really advanced martial arts move there.
Unbelievable. So ridiculous. And you know what, Viz, as you put those things out, I promise to, you know, I'll delete my scanlations of each volume as I get an English version because I love this comic too much. And I got to have it. I've been wanting it on paper. So if that's going to be possible.
It always surprises me that like stuff like this starts and somehow loses momentum. You know, that it hasn't all come out already in English is weird to me because it seems like there should be a bunch of rabid fans for this.
It just never connected like Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll find some people. You know, you said at the top of the show, Outlaw Comics.
Japanese Outlaw Comics.
If you love Outlaw Comics, I think you'll be happy with what you find in here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What do you say, Jimmy? Bounce?
Yep.
All right, kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available.
Patreon.com/JimRug. You can find some of my out-of-print mini-comics and zines. You can find lots of my artwork, process stuff of that nature. Patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room is available for pre-order. Thousands of people have pre-ordered this thing so far. And you know what? I'm greedy. I want thousands more to pre-order this thing. I want it to compete against any of those Marvel DC comics on that Diamond Top list. And I think the kayfabers could help make that happen. So pre-order and secure your copy of Red Room in the description below at my link tree. You could find the link to Fantagraphics. If not, hit the Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. Subscribe. You could read the first couple issues of Red Room. I put new strips out every Tuesday. $3 gets the archive.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have going on and coming out. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Give us some more, Jimmy. We'll be on our way.
Read more manga.